Okay. Well,
is this like a recent one?
No. This was actually like in 2012 and 13, but I only recently heard about it and I was like, that's pretty messed up. I got to do it.
Yeah.
Let's get involved in
it. These bitches are unwell.
These bitches are un-freaking well in many, many ways. Okay. So I'll just get started. Can you imagine how hard or difficult your life would have to be for you to even think about murdering your family?
Man, no. I couldn't imagine any circumstance where I would think about murdering my family.
Not in any circumstance, or situation. It just doesn't ever occur to a normal person that I'd probably be better off without some of my family members. Now I did. I did chase my brother with a machete. And
when was this last week?
No. We were young. This was probably like 40 years ago. Okay. You know, so it maybe even a little bit longer than 40 years. So we ordered all these pizzas. He orders all of these pizzas. Like, we were working and it was my mom's side of the family and we ordered like, I don't know, 4 or 5 pizzas. And he orders them all with jalapenos.
Mm-mm.
And this bitch don't like jalapenos.
No.
I wish I did, but I don't. So I got pissed and he kept fighting me off. And he was like, yeah, jalapenos and everything. So he hangs up. I was so mad. Because I was really hungry for pizza.
Don't mess with my pizza.
I guess I was hormonal. I don't know what my issues were. Obviously, they were deeply seated. I ran and got the machete. And I'm chasing him around the damn yard. And he is running, screaming like a girl.
You know. Can see that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's screaming. Mom!
Shouldn't have ordered jalapenos.
I was like, no jalapenos on the pizza. Anyway, that was as close to murder as I came. And, I mean, he was faster than me, so I don't know if I ever would have done it.
Unless he fell.
Maybe if he would have fallen, but probably not, okay, because...
Just scare him.
That was just a teenage hormonal psycho or psychotic event.
You were hangry.
Yeah, I was real hangry. Don't ever let a woman get angry.
Ever.
So Diane Stouty and her daughter, Rachel Stouty, decidedly and systematically poisoned their family members like rats.
Wow.
One after the other to unburden themselves of those who failed to be functioning members of their household.
Now, and who decides if they're a functioning member?
That's no shit.
I'm guessing, well, Diane and Rachel.
Diane does, pretty much.
Oh,
so,
man.
Diane is mama. Rachel is a daughter. Diane and Mark Stouty lived in Springfield, Missouri with their 4 children. Sean was the oldest, born in 1985. Sarah was born in 1988. Rachel was born in 1990. And the youngest, the little caboose, was born in 2001. And her name is Brianna.
Wow.
Needless to say, things were difficult in the Stouty household. Sean began having seizures shortly after he was born, and then, I guess as a toddler, he was diagnosed as being on the autism spectrum. Sarah started college in her 20s, and although she struggled through it, she did graduate. But along with that, she gained some pretty hefty student loan debt.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She had a degree in French, and she was having a difficult time finding work.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know many jobs that need a French degree.
No. Well, if you want to teach French.
Yeah.
Or you could.
I think you would have to have a teaching degree with that.
If you further your studies into politics, you could be an ambassador or, you know, there's lots of stuff. But
or maybe you could just move to France.
Yeah, that could be my job.
Yeah.
Just living in France.
I'm just going to live in France and speak French.
Yeah. But she really didn't seem interested in finding a job either. And... you know, she's 24 years old, still living at home. And she mostly spends the day, like, in her room, on the computer all the time, just on social media, and doesn't really socialize with her family. So she's kind of, she's there, but she's not there, okay? So Rachel, 22, was also still living at home, and she did excel in school and college, and she was musically inclined and, you know, just she was her mother's golden child, basically. Diane favored her over the other children, always praising her in front of the others and like slapping her accomplishments or whatever on social media and everything and just kind of like forget the other ones. Although there are a few that say, you know, I love my girls, blah, blah, blah. It's mostly all about Rachel. So
like Sarah got a B on a report card and she went and put Rachel's A on top of hers on the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Kind of room for this on here.
Yep. Take that B away. God. Who needs a B?
Not this bitch.
Not this bitch. So the whole family actually was musically talented. At their church, the Redeemer Lutheran Church, Diane served as an organist and Rachel served as a singer. Mark was a lead singer and a guitarist of a local blues band called Messin' with Destiny.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. You don't mess with Destiny.
Don't mess with Destiny.
Please don't mess with Destiny. So Mark's income was marginal. I mean, you know, he's a blues singer.
So that's all he did was...
That's pretty much all he did. He really struggled with keeping a job. He would take odd jobs every now and then with the band just for additional income. But Diane was the breadwinner of the family. So she was a nurse. And eventually she stopped working in patient care and started working for an insurance company. This is the person who decides if you really need to have a tonsillectomy or... if you need to have your appendix removed. Or, if, you know, they want you to try 20 more drugs. We'll see.
Yeah, let's see how high we can get this bill.
See what I'm feeling like today. I'm feeling like no.
It's like she gets something on her desk and it's like one for yes, two for no, and rolls the dice like it's four. Shit, let me try again.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes it does feel like that. And then you got to go back to your doctor and they've got to put in all this work. And then they submit a claim for $400 and they're like, approved amount $11.32. You owe everything else.
Sucker.
Okay, let's get back to it. In April of 2012, Mark unexpectedly passed away at 61 years old while his family was at church. So they all go to church. He has been sick for several weeks. Like his friends are noticing that he's not right. His coloring is off. Like he's almost yellow. And he's just not acting right. He is more volatile and acting drunk all the time. You know, things like that. Anyway, they all leave him, go to church, and then they come back and boom, he's dead in the bed. So his death was ruled a natural death, assuming his unhealthy lifestyle of a poor diet and alcohol, because he did drink.
Okay.
He only had a $20,000 life insurance policy, and they were actually looking for a new home, like a bigger home, because they were kind of outgrowing their home, and so they wanted to live in a nicer neighborhood. Well, this $20,000 went to that house for the betterment of her family and to move into a bigger, nicer house.
I'm guessing they didn't use any of that $20,000 to bury him?
He was cremated. But despite the bigger, nicer home, Diane was struggling with the entire weight of being a single mother with an autistic 26-year-old son, Sean, who was described by Rachel, which is her daughter, as being super easy to deal with, that you really didn't even know he was around. She's like, give him a color book and some crayons and he's at it for hours. Like, you don't even know he's there. But suddenly in September of the same year, Sean passed away. So you're talking about April and September.
Wow, what is it, like 6 months?
5 months.
Dang.
Yeah, 5 months.
And you got a bigger house. You have less people in a bigger house.
And your 26-year-old son passes away.
Was it like the same thing? It was just natural causes?
Well, according to the reports, he was experiencing body pain, nausea, diarrhea for about 3 weeks before his death. So,
oh, that's miserable.
This too, because he also had the seizure episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So they determined that, again, it was probably, you know, because he was maybe ill with flu-like symptoms and had a seizure. And
okay.
So this too was classified as a natural death. He did have a blood ring around his mouth And that's what they thought. Well, he must have had a seizure. I don't know about all that. So then in June 2013, 24-year-old Sarah became gravely ill. Diane placed a call to 911 to report something was wrong with her daughter. Now, this is the very next year, so...
So it's not even a full year.
No. 9 months later, her second child, Sarah, you know, the one with all the debt...
Yeah.
Suddenly becomes very, very sick. She was in critical condition, barely hanging on. Her organs were shutting down, and she had suffered brain bleeds. The doctors ran every test that they could think of, but everything was coming back negative. And Diane is just like laughing, cutting up in the hallways, like her daughter is on death's door. And she's talking to everybody about how she's not going to let this stop her going on her vacation to Florida next week. You know,
you got to take your priorities in check.
That came across as a little more than strange.
Yeah, I deal with grief very inappropriately, but I don't think I'd be talking about going to Florida. No. I don't care if she's alive or dead or in critical condition. My ass is going to Florida.
Right. I know. So with the two untimely deaths and now the sudden life or death situation of Sarah, Diane's pastor from her church actually became suspicious.
So it was the pastor.
The pastor.
Not even the police or doctors or anything.
No, because, well, everything was recorded as a natural death, and I guess no police reports were ever filed, right?
That's true.
Here's Sarah laying there fighting for her life, and the pastor is the one that calls in the anonymous tip that there might be more to Mark and Sean's death than they initially thought.
I mean, if there wasn't, you would think that Diane would be freaking out, thinking like, oh my God, are we all eating or drinking something that's making us die one by one? Yeah.
Something, okay, I'm 54, so 61 to me is not that old.
No.
And granted, you know, he may have not been living a healthy lifestyle, but...
That's still not very old.
It's still not old enough. And especially the son, Sean, I'd be like, who's next? Although Mark and Sean were both cremated, there were actually blood and tissue samples from Sean's autopsy from the prior year. Testing on Sean's samples showed the presence of ethylene glycol, the main ingredients in...
Antifreeze.
Oh, good my job. Gosh. Yes. So police now believe that Sean and Mark had both been poisoned, and it did not take them long to call in Diane for an interview.
She's not very creative. Everybody use antifreeze.
I know. Well, it's odorless. It's got kind of a sweet taste, you know? So the police called Diane in for her interview, and she was pretty much emotionless. Her daughter was in critical care, fighting for her life, and she appeared as if she was as concerned as a painted rock.
What's going on, guys?
Another boring day.
All right.
So I tell you, if I were called in for this interview, this is the most excitement I've had in my life.
I was planning on watching The Price is Right, and you interrupted me, so here I am.
Price is wrong, bitch. You got to go to jail. No. Okay, so the detective lets her know that Sarah has been slowly poisoned and asks, how do you think that happened? She does not seem at all surprised with this information.
I wonder if she's like, oh my goodness.
No, she was not. She just sat there like,
Don't see how this pertains to me.
Okay, if your daughter is in critical care, any of your children, whatever, if they're in critical care... And you don't know what the hell happened. You thought they just had like a stomach bug. And they say your kid was slowly being poisoned. What is your reaction?
I think I'd freak out. I'd probably flip the table in the interview room. Be like, well, who did this? What's going on? How did this happen? Why did this happen?
Perfect.
You better go find out who did this. Why are you questioning me? Get your ass out of here.
There you go. That's how a mom acts. Okay. Like I said, she's not surprised. And she says, I wouldn't have any idea how it happened. So this goes on. And they already know. Like, they've already gotten the test results from Sean's tissue. And so they contact the hospital, and the hospital tests her. And they're like, oh, yeah, this is definitely what it is. Thing. So they already know what they're looking at and what they're doing. They're just trying to give her an opportunity to confess, to, you know.
Clear her conscience.
This bitch holds tight.
She ain't got one.
So, yeah, no. So when the detective starts asking about her husband, Mark, and Sean's deaths, she stated that they were drinking antifreeze to commit suicide.
Oh, okay. That seems likely.
Okay. Now, he hasn't mentioned any antifreeze to her at all.
No.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
He just said, your daughter's being slowly poisoned, you know? And
she must be doing the same thing.
So, yeah. So she stated that they were drinking antifreeze to commit suicide. He asked how she knew that. And she said, I saw them drink it. Which isn't a lie.
They were all sitting at the table playing quarters. And instead of beer, they had antifreeze.
Shots of antifreeze. Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
No, it seems like a really long way to commit suicide.
Right? Well, she goes on to say, to put it short and sweet, I knew they were drinking antifreeze, and I was so mad at them, I didn't want to take them in. I delayed.
Oh, okay. Well, that's understandable.
Sure. I mean, like, what? Who wouldn't forgo that? Like,
oh, God, this woman makes my head hurt.
Knowing that this was a huge pile of BS they kept on her, the detective said, Diane, you knew that they were drinking antifreeze. You knew that. They didn't. We both know that. You knew because you were giving it to them. Diane was quiet for a while, like, seemed like a couple of minutes. And that's a long time.
Yeah, you're that's just, a like, sitting long there. Time.
And then she finally says, I didn't know what else to do. I really didn't. Have you ever woke up and your life is so bad that you can't stand to be in it? Because that's what I felt like.
Nope.
And she said, after all, you get tired of doing everything for your kids. And it's like, you just need to step up and do it.
I don't think that's the next step. I feel like the next step would be, you know, making them take responsibility for themselves.
Well, I think that's what she's talking about, you know, like for them to step up. But if you're so tired and you don't like your life and you're tired of being in it,
just peace out. Peace later. Me out. And Rachel are going to live our own lives in Florida. We don't need y'all anymore.
So finally, she admitted to putting antifreeze in her husband's Gatorade. Diane said she hated Mark's guts and that she didn't know what else to do.
Oh, my gosh.
She was surprised that it took so long.
You know what would have probably been quicker? Divorce.
And, yeah. Divorce. Hello. Well, that would probably take too long, too.
Yeah,
because if the antifreeze, she couldn't be patient enough for that. Divorce is really... No, then she'd have to put up with them for the rest of her life, you know, because they've got the kids together or whatever. No, she was done. Done with him. So she would give him more and more until the deed was done. And Mark died on Easter Sunday, April the 16th, 2012. You can't wait until there's not a holiday, like a symbolic holiday to your family. You profess to be a Christian, first of all. And Easter Sunday has no relevance for you. Like, did you think he was going to rise from the dead?
I don't think anything mattered except for her.
You are so right.
Very inconvenient for you to be sick in bed while I'm trying to hide Easter eggs.
God, Mark. You really had to pull a big one on me.
You're lucky on Easter Sunday. You're lucky it's not the same Sunday every year.
Mm-hmm. All right, so whenever the detective asked her why she poisoned Sean, Diane simply stated that he just kept getting in the way of her work and wouldn't stay in his room. She said he was like a pest you couldn't get rid of. So she put antifreeze in her son's Cokes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. She really said that. He was a pest you couldn't get rid of.
She is cold-blooded.
Yep. Diane said that Sarah was lazy and wouldn't find a job, that she had student loan debt coming due, and she didn't want to have to pay him.
Well, then you just don't pay him. You let your daughter take responsibility
for her. Exactly. Diane had called 911 and they did come and get Sarah, and that's how she made it to the hospital in time. So she was like, ICU, critical care, organs shutting down, all that. The police, after she admitted, you know, to doing all this, they obtained a search warrant for her house and found the antifreeze in the garage with a 6-pack of bottled Cokes directly next to it.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to walk too far when you're poisoning your family.
No.
You're all right there.
Right there in the garage. Very convenient, very handy.
You can use the Coke to get the acid off your battery and then mix in some antifreeze.
That's a great idea. Never thought about keeping Cokes in the garage. So the antifreeze and Cokes were sitting like on a work table with hand tools and other chemicals. It really sticks out like a sore thumb. You know, here's this 6-pack of bottles of Coke sitting next to all these chemicals and antifreeze. So it was a really big bingo for them.
Got some Raid here, got Diet Coke, antifreeze, yes. Sprite.
Gatorade. Pick your poison.
Literally. Three of these Coke bottles have something extra in them. Can you guess which ones?
What's behind bottle number two?
I'm not feeling lucky, Mama.
Oh, you're probably not then.
They're all poisoned. We got you.
There was no freebie.
There was no freebie.
While searching Rachel's room, they found her journal, which entailed the details about her father and brother's murders. There was even an entry stating how Sarah was next.
Oh, my gosh.
Now...
Okay, so Rachel's never watched any show on Discovery.
Probably not. No.
You should not write about that.
No. So now Rachel became a suspect, having written this information, suggesting she took a part in the murders as well.
Oh, my gosh.
So the detective quickly broke Rachel down. He explained that it all started with her mom, Diane, wanted to find a way to make their life simpler. She said her dad, Mark, had become a drain on her mother and herself, mostly with money. She was like, he has zero concept of money. He was going out all the time, drinking, partying, and all that other stuff. You know, like...
He was living the rock star life.
He was a burden. When she was asked about her brother, Sean, she said that she and her mother argued quite a bit over getting rid of her brother. Rachel thought that they could have placed him in assisted living, but Diane wanted him out.
I don't want to go give him into an assisted living facility. He's got to go.
He got to go.
Like, you were mother of the frickin' year.
You like a cacarocha.
Cacarocha.
Well, he was to
oh,
them.
Oh, man. I'm going to start saying it like that. Let's see that. How long it takes Chris to pick it up and be like, what are you talking about?
Cacarocha.
Cacarocha.
And I'm going to play this portion of her interview.
Wow.
To make it simpler. And the reasoning to get rid of your dad, tell me why for him, and then tell me why for Sean. Why did you guys want to get rid of those two?
Dad was basically a drain on her, on us. Money. He had no concept of money. He would always be out partying, always be out. Sean and me argued on a lot because I still think we could have put him in a assisted living, but she wanted him out.
See, she just monotone like that the entire.
And that was Rachel.
That was Rachel. Yes, this is on Rachel's
she
interview.
She doesn't sound upset.
Nope, not at all.
Like she's talking about what to get at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. I'd like some eggs and mm-hmm. bread. Yeah. And then we decided to kill him. You know, he was wasting a lot of money. Don't forget the milk and mm-hmm. the cheese.
Yeah.
And then we decided to kill my brother.
Yeah, exactly. It was like making a list.
Wow.
And in fact, they made the list.
Probably have the list in her journal.
Yeah. So she's very monotone. And actually, Diane and Rachel look and sound identical. Like, they're just both so monotone. And, yeah, so Sean was this and that, and then Sarah was next, yada, yada. Yeah, think I need a Coke.
I want to make sure it hasn't been open, though. Yeah. I'll get my own Coke.
The plan to kill her sister, Sarah, came about in May or June of 2013.
Now, they didn't waste any time.
Mm-mm, no. So when the detective asked Rachel why Sarah had to die, Rachel calmly responded, other than the fact that she basically lived in the back bedroom and didn't have, like, any gumption to get a job, I'm not certain. Mom probably has her own issues with her. The detective asks, what about you? Rachel responded, she's annoying, yes, but I don't know.
Okay, well, as long as you have a good reason for murdering someone.
Even... know why.
I don't know. Mom said yes, so we just did. All right, guys, I'm sorry for all the panting. What? Dixie is debuting on our podcast this week.
Oh, she's so tiny.
And she's so nervous.
She's so cute. We're going to put a picture of her on a website. Yeah. Her and Tuk-Tuk. The detective then asked, what did you guys decide on that was going to kill them? And she told him, Mom decided on antifreeze. When he asked why she chose antifreeze, Rachel said, because in general, you can put it in something and you couldn't really taste it. You couldn't smell it. Like it.
That's scary.
Yeah. Though they researched it. What happens is the ingredient, ethylene glycol in antifreeze, turns into dangerous elements when the body tries to metabolize it. So wherever these elements land, they slice and dice the organs.
Oh, gosh.
It is not a pretty thing to be poisoned by antifreeze. It's a horrid, horrible death. It is, it's inhumane and it's just, it's monstrous.
When Mark's friend said that he was like acting drunk and stuff, does antifreeze have that?
Yes.
Too? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Ooh. So basically, I think his liver was probably, and maybe his kidneys too, were probably shutting down, which gave him the jaundice, you know, like that yellow look.
Oh, yeah.
Because they said he was looking yellow and he was slurring and he was this and that and he was belligerent. And so it also messes with your brain. But yeah. So not a good death. So don't be drinking antifreeze. Okay.
No, that's not good for you.
It's not a sweetener. When asked if Rachel assisted in mixing the antifreeze in the drinks, either the Cokes or the Gatorade, Rachel responded that Diane would mix them and would just pass them out. And she knew that if the tops were already unscrewed, she should not drink them.
I'd be screwed because I don't pay attention half the time when I'm opening up drinks.
Did it just go?
Yeah. Did I twist the top or no?
God. Yeah. Then the detective said, well, why, if you were trying to kill Sarah, did you take her to the hospital? And I'm going to play this one, too, because this is an award winner here.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know why you guys eventually took, you know, when Sarah got so bad, I know you guys said you thought that she was pretty much dead, but why did you take her to the hospital?
I didn't want another one to die in the house.
And why is that?
Because houses are nasty after somebody's died in it.
Okay, what does that mean? What do you mean by that?
I get a lot of nightmares. Like after Sean died, I moved into his room and it was awful.
God.
I kept feeling things in there. I just didn't want that again.
I had to move into my dead brother's room and it was gross.
Poozy.
Like I could feel him.
Mm-hmm. I really hope he was haunting her. Isn't that disgusting?
Yes. Like, I didn't want another dead body in the house.
Yeah, that's gross. The only reason they took her to the hospital. They thought she was dead, okay? They thought she's going to die.
Yeah.
They waited until she was right there. Called 911 to come get her.
Man. Thank goodness the pastor realized something was
going
on.
Absolutely.
I'm wondering if, like, Mark and Sean, since they didn't die at the same place, if maybe it was, like, two different police departments that handled their deaths.
Oh, I don't know.
So they didn't know that they had two deaths that quickly, which I'm sure Mama Diane probably said something.
I really don't know. So Rachel goes on to say that they also planned to kill Brianna, the youngest.
What?
Yeah, after Sarah, they were going to kill Brianna, and then it would just be Rachel and Diane.
Rachel, you're next. So,
no, I don't think so, because Diane thought she was...
The bee's knees.
The bee's knees, babe. Yeah, she was the golden child.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
So when they asked how they would have done that, Rachel stated that she really liked root beer and they could have easily done it the same way as the others. Matter of factly like that.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
She said they really didn't go into any other new ways to kill off their family members. So more than likely, she was going to die by antifreeze.
They were just going to stick to what works. We haven't gotten quite yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's worked every other time.
So we
and
might as well.
Honestly, we didn't have to watch them suffer that long, so it was great for us.
Yeah, it's a lot less work for us.
And Brianna was just, she had learning disabilities. To them, she was another burden in the house.
Man.
On June 21st, 2013, 50-year-old Diane Stoudy was charged with two counts of first-degree murder and one count of armed criminal action. Rachel Stoudy was charged the following day with the same charges. The state was seeking the death penalty for Diane due to the extensive research she had done and planning it out and the torture that she had put them through. They were seeking life imprisonment for Rachel.
Wow.
Rachel pleaded guilty and agreed to testify against her mother in exchange for the charges to be reduced to two counts of second-degree murder and one count of first-degree assault. Rachel is serving her sentence at the Women's East Correctional Center in Vandalia, Missouri. Once Diane found out that Rachel was going to testify against her, she pleaded guilty to the Class A felony of murder in the first degree and was sentenced to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. Now, Rachel is eligible for parole, but I'll go over that in a second.
Okay.
But Diane is serving her sentence at the Correctional Center in Chillicothe, Missouri.
Oh, that's a cool name.
Chillicothe, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. And her cellmate better watch what she eats and drinks around her.
No doubt. Well, I don't know. Can you really get a hold of antifreeze in prison? Who knows? We don't know these things.
She might be working in the laundry room and stealing fabric softener pods or whatever.
Oh, my God.
Popping them at her.
Tide pods.
Yes.
In Rachel's hearing, she actually apologized to her sister, Sarah, stating, "I'm sorry that I couldn't find the courage to stand up for what was right, to go for help, to protect you and our siblings. I was scared, but being scared is no excuse." Like I stated earlier, the detective states that although he could sense some remorse from Rachel, he did feel like it was an attempted remorse, like she was really playing.
So she's not a good actress.
She's just
acting like she's
sorry. Or she's
sorry.
Just so monotone, has just such a monotone presence that you really can't tell that she has any kind of reaction.
By all of her interviews, she seemed like she had a great personality.
So she will be eligible for parole in 42 and a half years. Maybe with her bright personality, it could be sooner. Who knows?
Yeah, probably like 41 and three-fourths.
Yep, but she'll be around 65 when she gets out, just in time for retirement.
That's where my Social Security is going to sponsor Rachel.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thanks, Rachel.
6 years after Diane went to prison, she was interviewed by 2020. Now, this was the first interview that she had ever done.
Oh, really?
Like, since she went to prison, yeah. She was asked if she had a favorite child. Diane exclaimed, "Not really." And just like that.
Not really.
Not really.
Rachel was my favorite, but then she turned me in. Yeah. So
not she said, well, the interviewer said, "Which child would you say that you had more in common with?" And she instantly applied, "Rachel." She was asked to describe Rachel as a child, and she said, "Well, she was my first one that actually talked." She started laughing like, "My little brilliant baby, you know, that's why she was your favorite.
She had a milestone.
That's why she was, that's why she had so much in common with you, like, because she talked first." Bitch, you need to learn how to shut up.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so she was like, "I really didn't have much problems with her.
She could talk.
She could talk, and she was a good kid, so I decided to keep her. I didn't want to cull her off, you know?"
Oh, my God. I needed someone to help me kill the rest of the family.
Right? So despite their vicious efforts, Sarah survived the poisoning. She arrived at the hospital in the nick of time and made a miraculous recovery. She will, however, suffer permanent injuries as a result of the antifreeze. She suffered brain damage and damage to her internal organs. She had brain bleeds and stuff.
Wow.
She had to learn how to walk again, how to use other motor functions again, how to do everything all over again. In a later interview, Sarah said that she didn't think of her mom and sister as family anymore. She thinks of them as killers who hate her. She said she wanted to slap both of them and call them the B word.
And that's why they're on Bitch, I'm Not Well.
That's why they're here, Sarah. This is
we
for you.
We got you, girl.
Got your back. The interviewer brought this information up to Diane during the prison interview. And then she asked Diane, "What do you want to say to your daughter who is damaged because of this poison?" And Diane responded, "I'm sorry for what she went through, but I'm sorry for what everybody goes through. I'm sorry for what I had to go through." Hello? Are you there?
I think she drank some of that antifreeze.
The interviewer said, were you poisoned as well? And Diane says, I can't rule it out.
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
If I was an interviewer, how did she keep a straight face? I'd have been like, what?
When were you sick? And who would have poisoned you? Your golden child, Rachel? Like, who's left?
Well, Rachel didn't want to stay in her dead brother's room, so she's going to kill Mama so she could have the master.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah.
That's probably maybe. What it was.
Yeah. Yeah, she could throw that up on Rachel real quick. Detectives confirmed that there was absolutely zero evidence of Diane even having the sniffles. Diane had completely voided herself of any guilt, and she won't even admit to having any partial responsibility. The lady asked her, she said, will you even admit just a partial responsibility? And she was like, no.
I had nothing to do with this.
I don't even know why we're here, really.
I just came because I got out myself for a little bit.
I got
bit.
To wear my beige outfit today, and that's all I care about.
Looks real good with my brown hair. I'm going all beige.
I love beige, actually.
So I do, too.
I got a closet full. So anyway, when the interviewer told Diane that Sarah was living in a group home, permanently injured, and then she's like, oh, I brought a recent picture of Sarah. Now, this is 6 years later. She's been in prison, has not talked to Sarah that I know of. Surely not seen her.
Yeah.
So she shows her a photograph of a current picture of her daughter that she tried to kill. And without even moving her body, like, there is zero body movement. And she just says, oh, wow, she's gained weight.
What?
Bitch. Please.
Oh, my gosh. Well, since she had to relearn to walk, there was probably a lot of laying around. And since she wasn't throwing up and shitting her brains out because she's not being poisoned anymore.
That was so sad. Like, poor baby. Yeah.
Yeah, she's probably healthy now.
Yeah.
Or as healthy as she can be.
As healthy as she can be because she's permanently disabled.
Poor girl.
You know? Diane insistently denies being guilty and says that she pled guilty because she was told to say that. She won't say who told her to say it, though.
The voices in her head.
Maybe.
The little aliens that come and visit her at night.
Perhaps.
Oh, that had to be what it was.
She makes up different scenarios about how she thinks her family was poisoned. She blames her husband, Mark, and says it was his drug abuse and it was the people in that world who did it.
Mark came back from the grave and did it.
Really? Okay, so... All right, you want to say that about Mark and the drug world and everything, and they come back and they kill, they poison him with antifreeze, first of all. They sneak into your house and put it in his Gatorades.
I've never heard of drug dealers killing people.
Nobody else
way.
Happens to drink in the whole family. And then they're not quite done with Mark. 5 months later, let's go back and...
Let's get Sean. Yeah, seems like the right thing to do.
Right thing to do. And again, the only person in the house that's sick is Sean.
We're not going to do a fentanyl or heroin overdose. We're going to poison you slowly with antifreeze.
That's right, because these drug lords know exactly who's going to get the coke with the antifreeze.
Sean's the only one that takes the coke off the workbench in the garage.
Then 9 months later.
Let's go for Sarah.
Let's go for
Sarah. We haven't given this family enough torture yet. Let's go. I know.
Just makes complete and total sense.
This one's batshit crazy.
She is. She says that while she was in prison... that somebody told her that Mark had been green-lighted, meaning someone has been authorized to be killed.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
All right, Diane, no. Whatever.
There's zero evidence that Mark was on drugs or had any dealings with people on drugs, and all the evidence pointed strictly to Diane and Rachel. Eerily, the last song that Mark wrote and sang foreshadowed his death. The lyrics were... Your kiss of betrayal, baby, it done and did me in. That was like the last song that he ever wrote and sang.
That's some foreshadowing right there.
Yeah, yeah. There's a little hint of betrayal.
Mm-hmm. Just a tad.
Just a skosh.
Little sweet shot of betrayal in there.
A little sweet shot of antifreeze betrayal. Anti-betrayal.
Anti-betrayal. Ooh, yeah.
When asked how Sean died, Diane states that Sean left a note indicating that he committed suicide.
I wonder how long ago he wrote the note before he did it.
He did. It was after.
Oh, okay.
It was that ghostly spirit.
Mark showed Sean how to come back and haunt the family.
Yes. The one that was haunting Rachel. That's the one.
That's the one.
That's the one that did
gotcha.
It.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So she blatantly, she just comes out and says, I'll go to my death, denying that I ever killed my family. Go to her grave doing it. So I don't understand. First of all, your daughter admits to participating in murder. And then you're going to sit there and say she's lying about it after you yourself confessed to exactly what your daughter says. Like, they both had the same story.
Yeah, but now she's not going to confess to anything.
And now she's denying that she had anything to do with it.
I never said that.
But your daughter decides to cooperate with the police and serve a life sentence for 46 years, and you're going to turn around and say you had nothing to do with the murders? Like, who would go to jail? If they were innocent,
yeah,
they'd be like, oh, none of this ever happened. I don't know what happened. How do you deliberately poison your family when they suspect nothing?
I mean, who would suspect their family of poisoning
right.
them?
Right, that's what I'm saying. For Mark, Sean, and Sarah to have the utmost trust in Diane that they blindly ate or drank whatever she put in front of them, especially Sarah, after the sudden and close deaths of her dad and her brother, Diane had to have been acting completely normal around them.
Yeah.
Yet, she despised them. She hated their guts. Like, she... Well, I don't know. I know she said that about Mark, for sure. And she thought that her son was a pest, like a rat. So, how do you act normal around...
I feel like she has no personality or, like, no emotions. Like, it's
no.
just, good morning.
Boot them out of the house. Like, tell them they got to leave, you know? Like, with Sean, he could have gone to assisted living. Like, Rachel was right about that.
Yeah.
He functioned. He's got a Facebook page, and it's still up, by the way. And I did go and look at it, and it's, you can tell that he's off, you know, autistically, but he is brilliant. It's very sad, especially because you know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about his dad on his Facebook wall, about how dad is yelling and arguing, and he doesn't like his dad anymore. And he's always lazy. He's sleeping all the time. Now, this is like days before he dies.
Oh, gosh.
And that he must be drinking all the time, you know, because he acts drunk all the time. And he's slurring and he's driving funny, you know, just things like that. And then the next day he's like, well, my dad is dead.
Wow.
Yeah. But all before that, he's like, we need a different house. This house is dirty. Just continuous remarks about different things. Then he goes on to talk about like cartoon world stuff. He's like, I don't want to be in this family. You know, this family is messed up. He does talk about Sarah being in her room all the time, on her computer all the time, being lazy all the time, you know, things like that. And
so it sounds like if he had the opportunity to go to an assisted living place to get out of his home, he would have jumped on that.
Yeah. Absolutely. He could have very well functioned in the world. He didn't need to be living at home.
It didn't sound like he was very happy.
If you didn't want him at home, he would have done very well. So, and with Sarah, just be like, you got to go. I mean, you're 24. Bye.
Yeah. You got a degree.
Yeah.
Go figure it out.
You got to make your way in this world, you know?
You're a grown up.
Anyway, the little girl, Brianna, is... Well, she was living with the foster family, and I think they changed her name for her safety. But, yeah, that is the horrific story of how Diane and Rachel systematically poisoned their family members because, they didn't like them very much.
That's crazy.
They just wanted it to be the two of them.
I think that's the most honest answer that we've discussed so far on this podcast.
Yeah.
Why'd you kill him? I just didn't like him.
Just didn't like him.
Okay.
You know, run off with your daughter and go find a different life somewhere. That's just kind of weird.
She epitomizes that it does not play well with others.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it was terrible. And Sarah is still, I think, living in assisted living. And
did she have any disabilities before this?
No.
No? Okay.
No, she was just, I mean, she struggled in school a little bit, but she didn't have any kind of mental illness to speak of or that they talked about. So now she suffers with the brain damage and her organs. I know she's got several organs that were severely affected. I do know that she is still alive, but I don't know what her life expectancy is. So, and that's she's sad. Forgiven her mom and her sister. She said she forgave them in court, you know, but she does not want to have any contact with them.
I don't blame her.
For now. Maybe things will change in the future. If I were her, I would be rid of them. Yep. But, you know, sometimes even if a person is your family and they're not healthy for you, it's okay. Well, they certainly weren't healthy for
no.
her. No, they tried to kill her. So
you're dead to me.
In that instance, of course.
Yeah.
You don't ever have to feel obligated to speak to them again.
Yeah, don't invite them to the family reunion.
And if you pass them on the street, flip them the bird.
Yep. And then go in the opposite direction because they're probably going to fight you.
That's right.
Don't take anything to eat or drink from them.
You've had your lesson. Don't take anything to eat or drink with anybody that does not like you. I'm going to be watching everybody.
I'm going to sniff this out.
I got you. I got my eyes on you, Jaqueline. I see you coming at me. My coat didn't go. Pitch. I want another one.
Hospitality is just enough for me. Just looking at your pretty face.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
I just don't. I don't want to eat or drink anything. Just stare at you.
Oh, we can do this all day.
We can.
Let's try. We are so wackalicious. Okay. We're wrapping it up. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye. We appreciate you listening to our podcast. If you liked it, please give us a good rating. You can listen on your favorite podcast platform with new releases every Friday. Just search for Bitch, I'm Not Well. Send us suggestions for an episode at b.tchimnotwell@gmail.com. Because Gmail won't let us use bitch. Or visit our website at www.bitchimnotwell.com for more podcasts and our fabulous merchandise.
We'll see you next week on another podcast about another crazy bitch who is truly unwell.